conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Paul Levesque. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. I appreciate everybody being here. Sorry for the delay. I thought we had an amazing show tonight. This was one of those nights coming on the air with Vengeance Day that you could look across this card and really honestly say every single match on the show, if you went through them one by one, you could look at it and go, oh, that'll probably steal the show. Oh, that'll steal the show. Oh, this one might steal the show. It was that kind of card. And, man, across the board, they didn't disappoint. You know, everything seemed to get better. The Women's Dusty Cup, you know, for me, the Dusty Cup is it's a very important event. I take it very seriously. I take the name on it, Dusty's name on it, very seriously. You know, he was a creative partner for me here. He was a mentor. He was a lot of things in a lot of ways. And I take it very seriously that his name is on that. It wasn't just a, oh, let's just throw his name on something and, you know, go with it. I take it very seriously. It's something that we had talked about a lot, like his belief in that kind of, in tag teams and that kind of tournament. And it, anyway, it's just something that we talked about a lot, and I put a lot of value in that. And tonight, maybe one of the first nights that we had four different teams competing for a cup with his name on it, and I don't know that he had ever met any of them. And that's unique. His influence spans now, as it would for so many reasons, but it carries on through different generations of young performers that I think he would look at and just go, you know, I'm so proud of you and what you've accomplished and how you've grown since you've been here or as a performer, whatever that is. So I just want to state that. But, you know, from the Women's Cup of them making history and without taking anything away from Shotzi and Ember, Dakota and Raquel putting on all four of them putting on a spectacular performance and making history, to Kushida and Johnny, which was just incredible, to MSK and Grizzled Veterans, where just a master class in tag team wrestling that surpassed, you know, or if you were thinking already, God, how could it get any better than that? And then it does. You know, EO, Tony, Mercedes putting on a different level of something, you know, that just spoke to a different mindset than all the other matches did before that. And then going into Balor and Pete, which, God, the technical ability in that match was off the chart, but not just from a, you know, it takes a, only certain people can really appreciate the technical aspect of what's in there. I really do, but God, not only was it technical, but the story that they told within that technical wrestling was just so good and just so masterclass. And there were surprises in this show and there were moments in this show. And, you know, new faces with LA Knight, Eli Drake, and with, you know, Cameron Grimes, new direction. And then, of course, at the end of the night with just shocking moments. So to me, I felt like this was a takeover that felt back, I don't know, back to the beginning. And back to the brand. So with that said, I'll open it up to all of you. I want to take a minute before we do that to thank Brandon Walker for being here and Barstool Sports for their support and for being here. And then, and you know, just really appreciate that and then being a part of it. So with that, I will open up to you. And the last thing I'll just say is that I believe, barring something I'm unaware of at this point, I believe we were injury-free tonight. So when you put on the level of performance that everybody did, that's an amazing statement as well. So with that, I will open it up to questions.
All right, folks, keep it at one question per hour, please. Thank you.
Thank you. If you would like to signal with questions, please press star 1 on your touch-tone telephone. If you're joining us today using a speakerphone, please make sure mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, that is star 1 if you would like to ask questions. Our first question will come from Jim Varsalone with the Miami Herald.
Hey, Jim.
Oh, just another outstanding NXT takeover. You guys just continue to just outdo yourself. I don't know how you do it every time, but it was incredible. I just have
Thank you.
My questions. I noticed that, look, everybody, five matches, so everybody got their chance to shine and extend their matches, extend their story of the match. And I wanted you to talk a little bit about the women's triple threat. That probably was the least amount of time of all the matches. And just from your standpoint, was that by design? Were they supposed to go a little longer? And what could you say about Io Shirai as well in that match? I mean, she's just incredible. She does so many things. She's like fearless.
Yeah. First of all, a spectacular performance by all three. As far as the time goes, they had all the time they wanted. You know, they had a window that was much bigger than that. I think bell to bell, they went somewhere in the neighborhood of 12, 13. I don't remember precisely, but I think that's where they went to. But, you know, they had what they wanted. I think it was laid out at 20 and, you know, just as a window, but they had what they wanted. You know, there were a few things in there. I know that didn't go exactly how, you know, they had planned it. So, and I don't mean necessarily mistakes on their part, but, you know, tables breaking, things happening beyond people's control that make them go in different directions. So, you know, it's a funny thing. People sometimes get caught up in the, well, geez, how can they not go 20 minutes? It's a funny, I don't know. Like, if you go 20 minutes on all the matches, everybody goes, everybody's going to go 20 minutes on the takeovers. You can never make everybody happy. I thought they had a spectacular match, an incredible performance from all three of them. But Io Shirai is just she's a different level. She is so versatile with her performances, and I don't just mean in the ring. One minute she's this smiling, innocent girl. Another minute, she's this vicious killer. Another minute, she's truly is the genius of the sky and just, you know, flying off of things and doing incredible stuff. And anytime I think that there's something that, you know, I think from her, oh, I've seen it all. She pulls something else out that I'm like, geez, she really can just do anything and is just so versatile. It's hard to say, it's just hard to put into words how good she is. She's just an incredible performer.
Well, it was a really good match, too, and thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question will come from John Alba with the Central Florida News 13.
Hey, John.
Paul, great show. Hey, Paul, great show as always. And it was a show where we really got to see some young talent shine, including MSK, and I would like to ask about talent evaluation. It seemed in the early days of developmental in the NXT system, at least, it would maybe take a little longer for some of those people, either from the indies or from other promotions, to hit TV, regardless of where they came from, in order to adjust the system. But lately, we've seen MSK, we've seen August Gray, Kurt Stallion, LA Knight be put right on TV. So how has that evaluation changed? And is it strictly just a per-talent basis, or have things adjusted over time?
Yeah, I don't think that if you go back and look at the history of all of this, it depends on the performer. Some talent come in right away, they float right to television. Some talent come in, and they don't. And really what it comes down to is us giving them bits and pieces of opportunity. And I say this to everybody as they walk in the door. For the most part, we're going to give you bits and pieces of opportunity. Where that opportunity goes depends on how the opportunity is taken advantage of. So, you bring in people like MSK with a thought in your mind of, hey, these guys are really good performers, but I don't know what they bring to the table of their television knowledge or performance. And when you're doing something like the Dusty Cup, it's easy to have in mind where you want to go, but to then tweak things over the weeks as opportunities change, right? You see somebody, you go, okay, they're not quite ready for that. We're going to move to this. Or, okay, they are ready for that, and you move them forward. Those two are sponges. I said this to them tonight when they were done. We give you bits and pieces of opportunity. You have knocked each opportunity out of the park. And that is not because, and this is not me putting the system over, but it's not because they knew it all walking in the door. They're sponges. Sometimes people get it. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they have the knowledge. Sometimes they don't. There are times when I've worked with talent that have come from other places with, and I've seen them on TV for years. And then the first time we work with them on television and you begin to talk to them about television production, they're like, I have no idea what you're talking about. No one has ever told me any of that before. Could you start over? And like you realize, oh my God, like, wow, there really is no one has ever taught them this. They just kind of always ended up being in the right place at the right time. Or they just got lucky around how it was presented or whatever that is. There's other times where you get people that come in and they're a blank slate to it. And then you tell them some stuff and they're like, okay, great. Yeah, that makes total sense. And they've got it and they never miss a beat. Sometimes it's easier to have a blank slate than it is somebody that's been doing it a certain way for 10 years. And then you tell them something different and they're like, oh, wow, boy, that would be so much better. But getting them to do it on live television is a different thing. So it truly depends on the performer. When they get in here, we begin to work with them. We see where they are. We start to do little things and bits and pieces with them in training and how they react to those things and how they are coached. And every bit of it lends to where they end up and how quickly they get used or not used. But I don't necessarily think the system has changed. If you go back through time, there've been people that have been, you know, here for a long time trying to figure it out. And also, look, people walk in the door of a place that they've been trying to get to their whole life, somewhere in their mind. And you know, people that with no knowledge of that can talk about it however they want. When they get here, how they react to that and how they handle it are two totally different things. And I spend sometimes a lot of time with performers that have been doing this for a long time going, I don't, man, do what you do. You're not giving me you. You're giving me some other version of you that isn't what we're looking for. And I'm trying to get them to a place. And then one day the light bulb goes off and they go like, oh, I get it. And they relax to it and they go back to being a performer. And I don't know if that's them having a certain expectation in their own heads, but it is what it is. It's evaluated per talent. And when they're ready to succeed, we let them succeed. When they're not, I don't want them to fail and I don't want them to have stutter steps. So we try not to put it out there when it's not ready.
Appreciate the thoroughness. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And our next question comes from Kelly Wells with PWTorch.com.
Hey, Kelly.
Hey, Paul. Hey, how are you doing, Paul? It was a great show tonight, even on the takeovers. Just great stuff. I would like to ask about L.A. Knight, the former Eli Drake. Just kind of what went into getting him on board, who brought him on board, and what you see as maybe his ceiling is.
I don't think that there's a ceiling on anybody when they walk in the door. I kind of reevaluate everybody or evaluate everybody as they're walking in the door of like, my hope is that that all of them have the potential at one point in time to garner whatever they need to become as big of a performer as they can be here. I've been a fan of his since he was here the first time. And you know, there's a lot of reasons and on his side and our side as to why that didn't work out that time. But I was a fan of his then. I was a fan of his work and his promo skills and everything else as he went along his journey. And I've always thought when the time was right, he'd be great here. And the time was right. And phone calls were made and interest was on both sides. And it just went from there and it was smooth and easy. You know, he wants to be in a place where he can have the biggest platform in the world that's here. And I want to give it to him. So we're gonna run with it and see where we can go. And there is no ceiling.
All right. Thanks so much for the show tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Sean Ross Sapp with Fightful.
Hey, Sean.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking the time. You mentioned the table spot that unfortunately went awry earlier. What was sort of your reaction to that, and how do you think that the women recovered in that spot? Because it seemed like they didn't really miss a beat considering what we saw Io Shirai do right after that.
Yeah, no, I mean, they didn't. I mean, they're pros. All three of them are pros. They didn't miss a beat. They went right on. You know, it's a funny thing that stuff happens. You know, you've got to be able to roll with the punches, and they did it. They did it seamlessly, and I thought it worked tremendously. But they had a great match. You know, no matter what you do, things are never going to go exactly as you plan, unless you're extremely, extremely lucky. And even then, you know, it's why to me, the best performers are always the ones that can ad lib and do things on the fly and just roll with stuff and react to it and be in the moment. That's when it's the best, when things are just, you know, ABC all the way through. And if something does go awry, for some of those people, it can be really hard to adjust. And they did it seamlessly. So my hat's off to them. You know, just one of those things, right? In that moment, there's nothing for me other than just hating the fact that, oh, like, and somehow you feel like, I mean, there's nothing you can do about it, right? But you feel terrible, right? You just want it. You want to be able to give them everything you can and have them succeed. And you know what it's like when that stuff happens. So you hate it for them, but it just is what it is, and they're pros, so they move on.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Nick Hossman with Wrestling Inc.
Hi, Paul. Thank you very much for taking the time. Hi. Thank you. My question is with the WWE Network headed to Peacock, are we going to get the same amount of takeovers each year? Is that going to affect the amounts of volume in any way?
Yeah, no, that is the plan right now. Obviously, new partners and a platform, but yeah, the content and the delivery of content and everything else is still a WWE. It's a WWE product and WWE's process. So you know, will that change at some point? Are they more or less? I mean, no different. We're always going to evaluate, no different that than we would at any other point in time. So. But that is the plan, is to keep going. And, you know, the beautiful thing about Peacock is there's a lot of eyeballs, potentially, you know?
Sure. Well, all right. Thank you very much. Have a great night.
Thank you, Nick.
And our next question will come from Jason Powell with ProWrestling.net.
Hey, Jason.
Hey, Paul. Hey, it's been a couple of months now since the company and Mauro Ranallo parted ways. What's your assessment of the job that Dick Joseph, Wade Barrett, and Beth Phoenix have done so far?
I think they're doing great. You know, first of all, just let me say that I think Mauro was phenomenal. I'm a huge fan of his, continue to be a huge fan of his. You know, circumstances were just right for both sides, given everything that was happening in a pandemic world, to go in the directions we did. But I want to say that I'm a huge fan of Mauro, across the board, and happy that he's continuing to do the things that he is doing and have the success that he does. We stay in touch, and he's a good friend. So, but you know, on that, on the other side of that, the dynamic of Vic, Beth, and Wade, man, I'm thrilled with. Vic is coming into his own, and it's tough. You know, you come in here and you're kind of shown a WWE way and taught a certain thing, and you're trying to find your voice, and then, you know, a pandemic hits and you get into the mode that you get in, and for a while he's here by himself and he's got, you know, people you know, from their homes doing it with him. You know, I don't know that a lot of people even realize that Mauro, you know, when people couldn't travel, Morrow was home. You know, we were able to arrange it where he could do commentary from home. Beth was from home. They were calling it live seamlessly on the air, but it's hard and it's very, very difficult. And only recently in the last 3 or 4 weeks, I think it is, I don't know, time travels fast, but, you know, Beth was able to schedule-wise be able to be back here in person. And, man, since that time, I thought they had a good rhythm going. I can't say enough good stuff about Wade. I was a big fan of his when he was working with us. I was a big fan of his watching what he did outside of here and his commentary. And I always, man, there was always a part of me that, and I said this to him, you know, I always was a fan of it and wanted to get him here, and the timing wasn't right. And then the timing was right, and I was like, oh, this is great. Got him here, and he hasn't disappointed. He's a pro's pro. He just has a knack for it and a feel for it. Vic is really now coming into his own, and so is Beth, especially being here. So difficult to do from a distance. But being here, what I love about it is they come across as three people that genuinely like each other, like they would if it was three friends sitting on a couch watching the show and having a good time bantering with each other, even though one of them's calling play-by-play, you know. But it just comes across as enjoyable and fun. They get into the product. They're excited. I love it. You know, I think it's a different vibe from Raw. It's a different vibe from SmackDown, but it's NXT's vibe, and I'm really enjoying what they're doing and think they've come a long way and are doing a phenomenal job. Hopefully everybody else does too.
All right, folks, we'll do two more and we'll call it a night.
Thank you. Our next question will come from Bill Pritchard with WrestleZone.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Yourself?
Not too bad. Good show tonight. Somebody already touched on it earlier in the call about bringing MSK in and kind of getting them on TV a little sooner than we would normally expect. They've really done a good job of not only getting some energy going on the show, but the tag team division itself. It seems like, you know, they've really boosted it and almost seems like a return to form. So what can you say about just besides how quickly they've adapted, you know, what else did you really notice about them and just having them on NXT in such a short amount of time?
So the moment I met them, from them coming in here and having a tryout with us, and I talked to them for a period of time, and it's everything that the people here in NXT and the PC are just, they're the eyes and ears, right? And Matt Bloom, Sarah Amato, this whole team here, Sean, everybody that's here, all the coaches, I trust their opinions. So when they're talking to these people and they're saying, hey, these two are pros, these two are sponges, these two, man, you tell them something, they got it. They have an instinct for it. They're humble to it. You know, part of being coached is wanting to be coached. You know, and it's a funny thing to me. I hear sometimes people talk about, well, just letting people do things and they don't need to be coached or they don't need to be written for, they don't need to be produced. I cannot disagree with that any stronger. Look, Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback, arguably, in the history of football. It's like saying he doesn't need to be coached. Right? Like, they give you more coaches. They give you more help. They give you more things. Now, somebody like that, can take things to another level, but everybody needs to be coached. Everybody needs to be produced. When Vince McMahon is in a scene backstage back years ago, he wanted somebody else to produce him and to coach him and to get him there. It is the truth of what we do, and it is the truth in life, my opinion. To think otherwise is ego. And when you're open to it, when you're a sponge to it, when you are just willing to take, and not every opinion you get is right, but to take them, digest them, try them on, see what works honestly and openly, and see what works and what doesn't. And that, I can't say it enough. That is those kids MSK to a T. That is them. And it's why they've succeeded to the level that they have. When they walked in the door, we gave them just a whiff of an opportunity, and they grabbed it. And it was a breath of fresh air. They were the spark, but like then you talk about, okay, well, GYV to me are one of the most technically sound teams, and from a heel standpoint, just, man, they're just there. So, you know, we were just at a point where we were rolling them in here in the U.S. and they got stuck overseas. You know, there was a lot of things that happened in moments where things got stuck where they were, and then as they began to loosen up, the timing was right for everything. So you roll it all together, and the best plans, but then sometimes you get lucky too, and you get lightning in a bottle, and I feel like it's what we're getting right now. And, you know, again, to your point, back to form on the tag team division. It's exciting. You see MSK, Legato, Oni and Danny, GYV, MSK, I got so excited I'm knocking stuff over. Man, it's a division that you look at and you go like, holy cow, I'll take any one of those guys. So it's exciting.
Thanks very much for your time.
And we'll take a question from Michael Morales with Lucha Libre Online.
First of all, thank you for the opportunity, and congratulations for a great event. In NXT, we have some Latin talent like Mercedes Martinez, Legado, and Fantasma, and recently the increase was added to the Raw roster. My question is, how far or close are we from seeing an NXT Latin American brand?
Well, you know, I agree with you that we have a lot of Latino talent and you know, across the board on all brands. And whether you're talking about, you know, next level talent like Andrade, you're talking about, you know, Humberto Carrillo, Angel Garza. When you get past that, you know, Lince Dorado and Metallic and you come here and you have all the people you mentioned, Santos Escobar, you know, Raul and Joaquin, like there's just so many talent. So if you look at it in that manner, could we be very close to a Latino brand? Absolutely. But the timing's got to be right for it, and the timing has to be right in the world. And given all the circumstances of pandemics and everything else, that makes that challenge more difficult. But it's still a goal. I've talked about that a lot of times in, you know, whether it be business partner summits or anything like that. The goal is still the same, as you saw with the superstar spectacle for India. The intent to grow and have localized content and brand in India, to have that in other markets as well, much like we have done in the UK. And in the UK, I feel like we're just nicking the surface of where it's going to go. There's massive opportunity there. The timing just has to be right to do it. And we're going to evaluate that. But when we do it, we're going to do it right and do it big. It doesn't make sense to just do it to do it.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, we'll do one more.
Do one more if you have one ready.
At this time, there are no further questions, but once
again, great.
Please. Oh, go ahead.
No, that's great. I just want to thank everybody from coming on. I really appreciate the time. I know at the late hour, sometimes it's hard to get the international media on the line, but please feel free to reach out to Adam if you need anything, or if you have any questions or something that I can answer for you. But thank you again for being a part of this, the support. And I look forward to talking to you all next time as we head into the road to WrestleMania, which I'm sure is going to be spectacular for everybody involved, including NXT. So stay tuned.
Thanks, everybody. Be safe and have a great night.